We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m. And if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, yes. House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the TikTok and Google+.
On this episode, we feature an excerpt from the Numbers series focusing on the Black women of Portland politics, hosted by Morgan Jones, featuring Senator Akasha Lawrence Spence, A.J. McCreary, and Libra Ford. This conversation took place in our radio station's Aux Mute Gallery on the fourth floor of the Portland Art Museum. And this clip is from the first session in the series on the topic. The full conversation will be released next week on our North to the Numbers podcast.
So there is a difference, I think, about being politically minded or, you know, wanting to be active or doing mutual aid and getting your hands dirty and organizing. There is a difference between that and political action. Mm-hmm. So my question at this point is, why political action? What led you to this part in your leadership so far?
Yeah, so it's what I talked about originally, right? There are always going to be policies that are enacted upon us without us being at the table. And so, you know, eminent domain is a policy. Civil asset forfeiture is a policy. All of these things are policies, right? And we also saw the public-private partnership that continues to undercapitalize Black communities, to undercapitalize Latinx communities, indigenous communities, certain AAPI communities, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, for me, entering the policy space is another way to change the outcomes of our community, right? To ensure that we at least have equal footing under the law. Now, in implementation, we have to keep fighting for it, right? Because that's the other thing I always tell folks, right? It's that we could pass a million bills and say that this is the law, but how the actors, how people in the community, how our city officials, our state officials, et cetera, use the law, right?
Yes.
Is another animal, right? And
what I'm gonna just going to pause you real quick so that if anybody is like listening to this and is like, what does she mean?
Yeah.
Somebody has inevitably said to you, there are no racist laws, right? There are no laws that say that I can discriminate against you. And that is it. It's the implementation of other laws that become just discriminatory or exclusionary.
Yeah.
And in that, it's just sort of systemic that we just keep doing that instead of. So I just wanted to clarify, because a lot of people don't grasp that portion of it, and it's very serious.
And to be honest, there were laws that said we are racist.
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
You cannot be here. You know, there were those laws. Right. And then as they repealed those, you had the practice, right?
Yep.
So it's a difference. Laws are built intentionally to be slightly ambiguous, right? And open to interpretation. And part of it is creating rulemaking, right? And creating precedents and doing all of these things to say, well, this is how the law should be implemented, right? And so I'll talk about two things really quickly. Every time you, and I'm going to use an architectural example because that's part of my background. So when you draft a law and it passes, that's like the rendering, right? The beautiful image you see that says, oh, this is what, this is our best, our hopes and dreams and what we think it should look like. And then the administrative rules, which rulemaking, the process that we're in right now, because we just had the session, we're in rulemaking now. This process is the construction drawings, right? Those big drawings that you see on site at the construction site that says, okay, put that outlet 44 inches above the ground and 6 feet from the corner wall, right? It gets that detailed, right? And so rulemaking is the details. That's the meat of the bill, right? And a lot of us don't even know that. right? They don't. We don't pay attention to it. It's not in the news. Nobody's reporting on it.
Well, and the bill passed, right? Right, and so the bill everything's good now.
Pat ourselves on the back, right?
You can go back to brunch.
Right. The rulemaking is the meaty part, and you need community to be a part of that. We need it to be very transparent, right? Mm-hmm. So that we have accountability. Because then what happens is 2 years later, but remember that bill passed? I didn't get no money. I didn't. That never, nothing changed for me. And that, I think that was my political journey, right? So in New York, I was in politics. I worked for Senate Majority Leader, now Senate Majority Leader Schumer, and, you know, worked in campaigns and things like that. And I could not see any material changes in my community, right?
Yeah.
I didn't see any of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I left that world behind to work in the built environment because I said, okay, this is about decision-making power, right? Mm. This is about power, how we yield it and how we wield it, right? And too often our communities are yielding it because we are in the rat race.
Right.
We're too consumed with making money and trying to feed our kids and feed our family and doing all the things, just trying to survive.
Live.
We're in survival mode, right? And so you don't have access to power. You're not even thinking about it, right? Because you're just in survival mode. Like, how am I going to live in this space, how am I going to eat day to day to day, right? And so I started thinking about, well, how do we get power? You know, how do we find it? How do we get it? And so that's why I'm always about money. Everything that I do has money involved. Mm. I'm not just going to, and I'm so grateful for my colleagues who do work on, okay, what are the police allowed to wear? What are the police allowed to do? All of those kinds of things. But for me, in order for us to have control over our communities, we have to have control over the capital that flows through our communities. That's power, right? The reason why the police, we used to have, when cannabis was illegal, the reason why, despite comparable usage, you had more of us, five times more arrests and convictions for cannabis crimes than in our non-minority counterparts is the implementation, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That bias on the street that says, oh, you're a good kid. We're not going to mess up your life. Or we know that you have a lawyer uncle or cousin, or you know a politician, or you know somebody that's going to make my life hard.
Yep.
But in our communities, we don't have that, right? That's why half of us are in jail under bail, not charged with anything.
Not charged.
Because just we don't have access to bail money, right? So for me, it's always going to go back down to money and capital and power, right? So everything that I present, all the bills that I create are about how do I disrupt that? How do I get that for us?
Incredible. I'm going to ask the question again because there's no way either one of you remembers it, right?
I remember it.
I do. You can ask it again.
But, okay, so if you remember, like, why political action? Because, and for you, AJ, specifically, coming from a mutual aid and sharing sort of organizing work, what made you take that leap in your leadership work so far?
So I've talked about, like, people have said, AJ, you have the aptitude to run for political office for years. And I have talked about being interested in getting into politics in a more serious, robust way. I, in my head, this was a like post 40 activity for me. and it's something, you know, I signed up to do Emerge last summer. It was supposed to start in April. But I ended up actually doing the boot camp early because, I mean, community called and said, hey, AJ, community being this one right here, being the first that she called me, like I had just got back from LA, took an intentional 2 weeks off, just been at my best friend's house, been loved up on and just relaxed. So she caught me off guard. but it was like, AJ, I'm gonna tap out of this and I'm gonna tap you in. And I was like, wait, I'm sorry. And originally, right when now? when she had we were, you know, talking about it, I was like, this isn't the time. And my child was in the background. Yes, we're doing this. And I was like, ooh. And I was very like, I need to think about it. And because of also in this race, I'm in part of the small donor election program, which means that the money that I like first $20 of Portland resident donors. Is matched 9-1. So $20 in this program becomes $200. So because of that, I had one day to file to that I wanted to be in that program and to get busy on qualifying. So my kid was like, we're in, let's go. I needed to, you know, kind of check in with the teams that I'm on. I'm leadership at EGC and Mom Block, as well as Race Talks and Steps PDX, and I advise in some other spaces. And so I was like, ooh, I don't know, this is often a lot. Like, I was also teaching as a guest lecturer this past term at University of Oregon for a pilot program. And so, like, I definitely was like, I don't know. But when I told Akasha, I said, let me talk about it. My kid was like,
Just
get over it.
And I heard him. He was in the background. He was like, do it.
Yeah, he was like, we're committing. This, we're going. We're doing this. And I was like, bro, like, this is actually not a you activity. This is a me activity. But I called, you know, I called my EGC team, and everybody was like, it was so funny. Lillian was like, why are you asking permission? Yeah. And I was like, because it's going to affect you. And she's like, but I want this.
Yeah.
Get off my phone. Like, right. Yes.
This benefits yes. me.
And, you know, so I like went through the list of like at the EGC team, I talked to and just the way that we operate. We do check in with each other. And all of them were like, yes. Where do I sign up? What am I sending some dollars? Like, I wasn't even a candidate yet. And they were like, let's go. And so then I like also made intentional like calling some of my mentors, because I have some deep, you know, long-term mentors in the community, and all of them are like, we've been waiting.
This is time.
And I was like, wait, what? Like, it was a really uncomfortable moment. So really for me, it's like, I've talked about this. Our community has said like, yeah, this could definitely be a good track for you. And this definitely seems like the moment. And for me, in terms of like why I want to be in politics, is I really do want to be participating in the healing, right? Like, I've studied history. I also have a similar art and architecture background. I love placemaking. This is my home. I've left and come back. And we have this a lot of work to do. It's also knowing the history of Portland, knowing the history of Vanport, knowing the history of gentrification that has happened here. It's really important for me also to help shift what is happening. Mm-hmm. What has happened in Oakland, New Orleans, in Brooklyn, in around our country and beyond, a lot of that has happened because of the learning and the teachings that happened out of Portland. Portland is a place that teaches urban development and sustainability. And right now we're teaching a way of erasure. Mm. And it's a dangerous lesson. And for me, as somebody who cares about history, who cares about community members as humans, not just as figureheads that are bobbing around, but as individuals who may or may not like certain foods and who walk their dogs and, you know, laugh at silly jokes, I care about those people. And what we're doing here, what's happening here, is really dangerous and really important to be a place of shifting and healing. And I want to be a part of that. And I also know that I can do really impossible things. Mm-hmm. And the pandemic,
write
you know,
that down.
The pandemic has been a sort of a mirror check on that for me, right? Like, any sort of moment that I was like, ooh, my voice is shaky or I don't know, the pandemic was like, but you can do hard things. Yeah. Look what you did. So for me, this is like a yes and moment. And it's an opportunity to help shift us out of this horrible place and into a better, different future. And I like to share. So like, what does that look like to have a larger platform to get to do that on?
Yeah.
And to like implement that into culture. And something that you said a minute ago, Akasha, one of my superpowers, and I love framing things of that, is that I'm good at the implementation. Mm-hmm. The rallying people and being like, I know today is raggedy and I'd much rather be in my bed, you know, watching some silly movie too, or falling asleep, because that's what I do when I watch movies. But we have a task to do, and let's do it, and we can do it.
Yeah.
So I think that's also something that we need in Portland City Hall. Our local government is so critical, and we need somebody who's intentionally about healing and who wants to bring people along. So for me, that's like why this moment is this moment and why we are on this journey.
Incredible. Yeah. Libra, do you remember the question?
Yeah, I do. So like, I'll quickly tell a story. I grew up in Harlem, New York, and I remember as a kid, my mom had really powerful people around me. So first, let me say that. Very powerful people that we now enjoy, and I didn't realize that until I got older, just my exposure. And they had a collective And I remember as a kid, I probably was about 8. We showed up at an auction for a brownstone, because that's how gentrification started in Harlem.
Auctions.
They would auction off the brownstones. And so this group of really powerful people that as a kid were just like my aunties and uncles, but now everybody quotes them and it's like, oh, okay.
you know them.
But yeah, exactly. But they got together and they put their money together. And they walked into the auction and they bought about 4 of the brownstones. And it was in that moment that I realized that they put their minds together, right? And all the things that my parents were activists of the 60s, and the movement was all about minds, right? Minds being put together, minds being made right with these documentations that we didn't have before. And I quickly realized that I really wanted to be a part of the movement of the heart, because my parents had the minds, right? And so it became this kind of narrative that I was living with as a child that was fortified by my parents, right? Like, how do we bridge it together? We did this work, you got to do this work, you know? When are you going to do that work? How are you going to do that work? You got to do this work for our people. The minds and the hearts got to come together. And so that quickly just motivated me for leadership, period, and also intentional leadership. My family was very intentional about where they placed me, who they placed me in front of, what I was listening to, what I was not listening to. And that leadership motivation quickly turned into me writing a very clear plan for my life at 16, that in 2036 I would run for president of the United States. And I remember telling my parents that, and they were like, cool, let's do it. And every decision after that was based on that. My parents were very much the types to say, you can do whatever you put your mind to, obviously, but it needs to be something that brings our people back. Mm. And so I've always lived with that. Every decision I've made, every place I've traveled, everything that I do, it's always that reminder, right? Like, I no longer have my father, but I can still hear him in my mind when I'm making decisions. What does this do for us? How does this move our hearts and minds? So to me, the 60s was a movement of the mind, and I'm super proud of that. I'm proud of the people that did that. I believe that we are in a movement of the heart, and the only way that we can really, really feel it as experiencers on the streets is to have people in all places, and that includes politics.
Indeed.
Even if we do not like it, we have to put the people that are willing to tolerate it there.
Right.
To make sure that this bridge of the mind and hearts happens. We're all a piece of the movement, right? We may not see it in our lifetime, but another thing my family drilled in me, someone did it for you and they didn't know your name. Mm-hmm. You need to do it for somebody else and you don't need to know their name. And eventually, it becomes a victory. So that's my life journey. No matter where I go, it's the reason why I do it. I happen to have the demeanor for politics. I love the mental gymnastics of it. And I am a lover of words, so I love to slap people in the face with a sentence and they don't realize it until they lay down to sleep.
Yeah, when they get home. And
those
like,
things all
minute.
Motivate me. But yeah, it's a movement of the mind and hearts, and I'm happy to do my part in politics.
This is what I mean by healing for me, because I don't need to protect y'all. Y'all got it.
No, but I'm going to have to take that workshop from Libra about fixing my face.
That's a thing.
My father was an actor, so I learned lots from him.
So it's like, bring that down. Since like day one, you know, as a baby making faces. Like.
Yeah. Same. My side eye was cold as a baby and just kept going.
Same. I'm signing up for that workshop.
So organizing is hard work. Mental gymnastics that we have to do to just survive is hard work. But it's even hard. It's hard even when you're tapped into the community. And where are you guys finding successes that you see some of your opponents struggling with?
Well, I'll start.
And okay.
So it's not going to be in a race context, right? It's going to be in a, I'm going to talk about the Oregon Cares Fund again.
Great.
Right? So when I was conceptualizing this, I called a lot of people, and you know, they were just like, this is not gonna happen.
It's flat out.
You can't do it. I got people saying, it's impossible. We don't ask for money. We get policies changed. We don't ask for money because we're never gonna get it, right? Sure. And it's impossible for you. That's why I'm here, right? Like, that's the point. Like, we all come with our own gifts.
Yes.
And that's why I'm here. I was brought here to do this work, right? Because I thought that I was going to do this short term, be in the house just for the short session. Then I was going to do a civic engagement, like roadshow, right?
Okay.
And then I was going to be like, Mike, I'm done. Thanks, guys. Everybody, peace out, you know? And COVID happened, and it presented an opportunity to do something that had never been done before. And I knew that I did not have the social capital in the Black community to do it alone. So I called up a few people, and I said, who do I need to bring with me to get this done? Mm. And they listed names, and I called those people. Some of them were like, that's crazy. Good luck. We've tried it before. It's not going to happen. But call these other people. So calling. I called Nkenge Harmon-Johnson. I called Jesse Beeson. I called Joy Elise Davis and Katrina Holland. And we got together and figured it out. And we brought together the Black community across the state.
Yeah.
Elders. You know, folks who had just got here, people in the immigrant community, just everybody on Zoom calls. And that was the beauty of the pandemic. We didn't have to find a location that was centralized for everybody. You could be wherever you were in the state and get on a Zoom call. And we had these weekly Zoom calls and breakouts. Who was going to work on the finance section? Who was going to write we wrote a 25-page brief on why this should happen, the data that didn't even come out yet, right? Because this was early in the pandemic.
Very.
And we, you know, at first the community was asking for disaggregated data. There were a lot of op-eds about that. And I was like, we know what the data is going to say.
Right.
It's going to say the same thing it always says. Black and brown people are disproportionately impacted. Yep. We're dying more. We're not going to be able to bounce back. This is going to be like worse than the 08 recession. I was like, we know. We don't need the data. What we need is money. Like, we need the money, right? So we came together, and Jesse is the one who came up with the $62 million. He said, the state got this amount of billions. We are this percentage of the state. We should get $62
million. Love it.
Right? So we were all like, that's a lot of money. And then I said, you know what? We're getting it. You know? And then people were like, well, even if we only get 10, and I was like, nope, we're getting it. You did the math. Right? And when I talked to the governor, when I talked to the Speaker of the House, when I talked to folks and they said, where'd you get this number? I was able to say, you got this money. We are this percent of the state. This is our money. Right?
I mean, is there anything else to talk about? Right?
Yeah. Like, this is our money.
Yeah.
Right? And so for me, it was really about bringing the whole community together to create this effort, because then they couldn't call Tony Hobson and say, hey, Tony, do you know about this? You want to get your own money?
Mm-hmm.
And divide us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't call Michael Alexander and say, do you know about this? They couldn't call anybody and say, there's some Black people doing this thing over here. Are you a part of the, you know?
You want me to just give it to you?
You want me to just give it to you, you know? Or give you? You want me to just give you 20?
Right.
We brought everybody together so we were on the same page. And they could not divide us.
Huge.
That was, it was huge.
Huge.
It was huge. And I remember the day, because it wasn't through a full legislative assembly that we passed this, because that would have, I don't know if that would have passed.
Right.
It was an e-board thing. But we even had Republicans vote yes, because I did the work. I called everybody. I talked to them about it. I said, this is why this is important. Again, we put together that 25-page document that listed all the data from before and the data that was coming out. We also signified how we were going to spend it, who was going to get it.
Right.
Individuals and families, right? Nonprofits, faith-based institutions, and our small businesses. Because for me, it's always going to be holistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't just give it to the individuals. You can't just give it to the businesses. You can't just give it to the faith-based and the nonprofits and CBOs. You have to fortify the entire community simultaneously for us to weather the storm, right? And so for me, it was, that is me, how I coalition build, right? It's understanding my positionality, what I'm good at, what I'm able to do, and knowing how to bring everyone to the table. You know, now I'm a trusted voice, but at the time I needed other people, and I would always bring them because we all brought different things to the table.
Yes.
Different experiences, different skill sets, right? And so for me, that was incredibly powerful.
Big time. I mean, we have never seen anything like it here. So yes, huge.
And I don't think there has been anything equivalent across the nation.
I believe that.
There hasn't. And that's why when AJ talks about this place, as contentious as the history has been to Black people and to brown people, et cetera, it really sets the tone. People look here for how to create master plan cities, right? Our transportation system was avant-garde.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They look to us and say, if Oregon can do it, you know, because people can't, half the country can't place us on the map. They don't know where we are.
No clue. Right? Is that the Northwest? Is that the West Coast?
Right. Where is that? Oregon. You know, like that's what they say.
We don't have roads out here. So, right. Them.
You know?
Or Black people.
Right.
So.
Right. So, we all live on a farm. To do something like that here, it shows everybody up. Why aren't you doing it?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
With all of the, you know, Oregon doesn't get a ton of money in the, in comparison to larger cities, to more populous cities, to, or states. And to other places that have, you know, more diversity, we're down here, you know? And so for us to be the ones that were able to do that, that is humongous across the country. Yep. And also, you know, for all of the other civilized, and I say that with big air quotes, but the nations that give healthcare to their, you know, the people that live there, you know, college, things like that, they may not have needed as much help, but this is the kind of like mutual aid without it being, you know, exactly direct neighbor to neighbor, but it's direct action to a direct community, and we're not seeing that anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's scalable. Right. I think that's the part that I hope Black people of Portland can really understand. Coming from such a large city, a dense city, it's very difficult to scale up pilots' ideas, right? Because there's so few that are impacted with such a large need. Where Portland has a unique positioning in the nation where you have a smaller population similar to a small business. And you learn it well, and then you scale it up. And if we can really take that kind of theory and use that as one, a way to empower the Black people of Oregon to say, no, you can help us fix a lot if we take that power and make plans across the nation and really implement it, I think that we have a win. It's to me, the attractive part of the small community here. I think many people see it as a deficit. I see it as an asset.
Yeah, I agree, it's an asset. We have the opportunity here in a different way. We have such a small percentage of folks that we have the opportunity to actually intentionally heal and move, whether it's social programs or piloted programs from community-based organizations, to scale things, to try things out in a different way and impact people.